Democratic Alliance is demanding transparency over Deputy President Paul Mashatile's lotto connections. We get the latest from the party's spokesperson on trade, industry and competition. Welcome, Toby Chance.
Good afternoon, Chris.
So what does Minister Parks Tau have to say?
He appeared to be surprised by the information that was revealed by Emma Bongani yesterday. The investigative reporters revealed that a company which is an investor in Sizikaya Holdings, which is the lotto licensee, the new lotto licensee appointed by Minister Tau at the end of May, has an association through the sister-in-law of Deputy President Paul Mashatile. And that is a serious issue because it represents a conflict of interest with a political office bearer of a shareholder in the lotto license holder. As I said, Minister Tau didn't appear to be aware of it, which raises serious questions of due diligence in the lottery adjudication process.
So what checks and balances are there?
The checks and balances are that he would have to review his decision, essentially, the decision that was made at the end of May to appoint Sizikaya Holdings, which would be an embarrassment, a significant embarrassment, because the minister and the National Lottery Commission have bent over backwards to explain the process that they've gone through, which started in January last year, when the bid evaluation committee started to look at all the bids. There were 8 bids submitted. That process continued until September, when the recommendation from the evaluation committee was sent to the adjudication committee, who then reported back to Minister Tau in December. And then Minister Tau appointed his own quality assurance committee, which then reported back in April this year, on the 25th of April. And at that stage, the committee recommended Sizikaya Holdings, and that announcement was made at the end of May. So essentially, we're talking almost 16 months, 17 months of supposed evaluation, supposed due diligence. And if this information has not been made available by the bidders and has not been revealed by the adjudication process, then that seriously calls into question what has been going on. And so Mr. Tau would then have to basically go back to the drawing board and institute an investigation.
Now, how could they have missed this connection, Toby?
It's very difficult to say. What's interesting is that in the request for a proposal, the RFP that was published at the end of 2023, the RFP made it very clear in several paragraphs that assurances have to be made that there's no direct or indirect conflict of interest by any of the shareholders or members of the application team with political office bearers or political parties. Now, it was interestingly today in the committee, Minister Tau and the National Lottery Commission, their presentation only made reference to direct conflicts of interest, not indirect conflicts of interest. So it's possible that the adjudication process did not dig further than just the immediate shareholders of Sizikaya Holdings and failed to go into the details about the shareholders. Now, just by the way, Sizikaya Holdings was only registered 6 days before the bid adjudication process ended. And Bellamont Gaming was only registered a month before that. So, the question also is arising as to, is it sensible to appoint a company that is less than a few weeks old to run a 60 billion rand operation? These, again, are questions which Minister Tau has to answer.
I was just going to ask you, so even on the basis of qualifications, there didn't seem to be much to go on.
Well, yes and no. They have a 50% shareholding in Sizikaya through Gold Rush. Gold Rush is a experienced gambling and betting company. So they relied on that relationship to tick that box. And there were other boxes that had to be ticked on BE compliance, socioeconomic contributions, localization, those sorts of things. But, if the fundamental issue of conflict of interest with political office bearers has not been ticked, then that is a problem. And I think that, the public demand answers, and certainly the investigators at Emma Bhungani may need to be congratulated on uncovering this information.
And now, wouldn't a sister-in-law be almost qualify as a direct link?
Well, it's difficult to say, actually. The conversation happened in the committee as to what constitutes an indirect or direct conflict of interest. I mean, is it a friendship? Is it a family relationship? Is it a business associate? These are questions which are not actually spelled out directly. But I think that one of the things that the Emma Bhungani team have pointed out is that the deputy president, Paul Mashatile, has had a history of essentially associations with businesses that he doesn't have a direct interest in himself, but through family members and friends, he is obtaining financial benefit. And, you know, he has not put himself through a lifestyle audit. And it's certainly the case that the lavish lifestyle that he leads cannot be, paid for out of a deputy president's salary. So, the DA laid corruption charges against the deputy president over a year ago. These are still pending. And I think that the public deserves to have answers. You know, the ANC Integrity Commission apparently has investigated him and found no wrongdoing, but that isn't necessarily a foolproof process at all. And so I think that what Mr. Tao is able to uncover, if he does go ahead with this investigation into Sisakaya's shareholding, could be the beginning of a slippery slope for the deputy president.
Have you had any update on that investigation?
Not at all. I mean, we only heard this information this morning when we
confronted Mr. Tao, the charges you laid a year ago. What?
Oh, I see. Sorry.
I'm talking about the charges you laid a year ago.
It hasn't yet been enrolled in the court roll yet.
Could you just recap those charges for us, please?
I can't give you the precise details, but what I can say is that the DA had information which we believe was sufficient to lay corruption charges against the deputy president on the basis of, as I said, his association with dubious individuals, including Mr. Sodhi, who, as you recall, has received multitudinous tenders from the government of various sorts, including the asbestos tender in the Free State, tenders from the Shwani municipality, and the close association the deputy president has with him, amongst other people, including his son-in-law, who has a supposedly 37 million rand house in Waterfall, which Mr. Mashatile lives in. We don't know where that money came from either to buy the house. So there are lots of unanswered questions, and unfortunately, it does go to the heart of, the state capture issue, using familial connections to lay your hands on valuable state assets to benefit your friends and family.
Mm, and wasn't there a businessman with him in Paris recently linked to this lotto company?
Two businessmen, actually, yes. The other shareholder of Bellemont Gaming, the other one being, of course, his sister-in-law, Kumo Bogatsu, her business partner, Moses Tembi, was with the deputy president in Paris in May, as well as Sandile Zungu, who is a director of Sisakaya Holdings. So between the three of them, it's a nice little triad, which links. If you look at the Emma Bhungani article, there's a nice little diagram which shows the relationship between those people and the sort of dotted lines between the different institutions, the different companies, and the different individuals. And unfortunately, it's a classic case yet again of how state capture and corruption works. It's a dubious connection between politicians, business people, and public officials, which has led to the downfall of so many of our institutions.
Indeed. Thank you. That was the Democratic Alliance's spokesperson on trade, industry and competition, Toby Chan, speaking to BizNews. Thank you, Toby. And I'm Christine for BizNews.